welcome to Bangor Community Church Podcast. We pray that you will be blessed today as you hear the Word of God.
Praise God. I'm going to continue on this morning. I just sense concerning the work of the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is so important to our lives as Christians. It's important to everyone's life. He is the third person of the Godhead. He is the executive of the Godhead. He has the authority and the power and the ability to do whatever God's heart and mouth declares to be done. There is nothing he cannot do. Glory to God. And he is not just available to do that when God speaks. He is waiting to do it for you and for me when we speak, because we believe what God has said. We speak the words he has said. We expect them to happen. We expect them to be fulfilled. It's the Holy Spirit that goes into action to bring a fulfillment to that. I remember, I don't know whether it was last week or the week before, and I was ministering on this, and suddenly hit me so powerfully. You know, I believe in divine healing. We stand in divine healing. We stand on the Word. If we're sick or whatever, we stand upon the Word and we see God do what He said. But as I was standing here talking, ministering and sharing about the work of the Holy Spirit, and I was just talking about how He goes into action whenever God spoke, and suddenly I realized that, and what I heard was in my spirit was, every time John Nabby stands upon the Word for his healing, and I speak it out, not just once, but through the day, praising God that I'm whole and I'm healed. The Holy Spirit, it's He that goes into action to deal with whatever it is within my body. Glory to God. Isn't that awesome? Isn't it awesome? I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit is important to us. He is the one that God has trusted with caring for us that believe. He can't care for those that don't believe. He can't function for them because they don't believe He exists. He is a nobody. He is a no entity. But to those that believe, they state their claim that I can't see it, I can't work it out with my head, but I believe that this book is true. Hallelujah. Now, let me have you turn, first of all, to 1 Corinthians 2. You know, this is a word that the Lord spoke to Hillary yesterday. And in the evening, Hillary just shared it with me, and we started talking about it and dialoguing. It's a powerful word. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I'm going to read from verse 6. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. The natural man can't understand this mystery. You can understand it with your intellect. The Bible says that the natural man cannot understand the things of the Spirit of God. They are spiritually discerned. And if you're not born again and the Holy Spirit actively alive in you, you can never walk in this truth because you can't believe it. It's the Holy Spirit that will give you revelation of this awesome mystery, that God so loved the world that He gave His own Son. And in doing that, the mystery is that He has delivered all those that would believe from every circumstance and certainly from the power of darkness. Verse 8 goes on, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Glory to God. But as it is written, and this is the passage, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of a man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. It's not even entered into the mind of a man. You can't even imagine what God's wanting to, waiting to do in your life and mine. They, how do they come? Through the promise. Through the promise. I'm a son, by the way, of the promise. I'm a son of the promise. I believe the promise that God gave in Christ Jesus, that he bore my sin in his body on the tree. And whosoever shall believe in him shall never perish, but have everlasting life. And the Holy Spirit of promise has sealed that in my life. Praise God. I'm alive in him, sealed for eternity. I believe that. Isn't that awesome? Eye has not seen. Think of this. No eye has seen, nor ear has heard, nor has it entered into the heart of a man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But look at the next verse, goes on to say, but God has revealed them to us, hallelujah, how? Through Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Oh, how he loves us, church. How great he is. The abundant provision is made. It's all available to all of us through his word by our ability to receive it and believe it. The enemy does everything he can to stop us. Wasn't somebody asked me how he does it? Well, nobody wants to know, so I will not tell you. I'm going to tell you because you haven't asked me. Pardon? You do want to know. I was going to tell you, I couldn't let you off with this. How he stops you is he distracts you by allowing you to think the thoughts that come into it. You keep them, you let them take root, and they get, the plant gets bigger and bigger, and you see it more clearly and more positively. What is it you see? What you see increasingly more and positively is that it won't work. That's the only way it can stop you. The Bible says this in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8 to 10. It says this, you have to cast down every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And the knowledge of God is here. You've got to tangibly, you've got to cast that down. You've got to, as it were, put your foot on it. I do that at times. Just put my foot upon that work of the enemy, which is a spirit, by the way. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. There's a demonic spirit. And he's going to fill your mind with the carnality of this world. And he has you and me, if he can get it his way, thinking the way the unsaved do. Oh, I've got cancer. That's me done. Whoa. Got no money, so what's that going to happen? But faith changes everything. What is faith? A feeling? No, it's not. An emotion? No, it's not. Faith is this word. Believed enough to do it and act on it. Give God thanks for it. Glory to God. I'm going to turn you to where this morning? I'm going to turn you to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. Romans 14 and verse 17. Verse 17 and 18, we'll just read these two verses. Therefore, do not let your... Sorry. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but it's righteousness. It is peace. Isn't that great? The kingdom of God is a place of peace. And it's joy. It's a place of joy. Look, the scripture says, the kingdom of God is not right, not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy. There's one aspect of that where the Lord's saying to us, it's not natural, it's not carnal, it's a spiritual. The kingdom of God is something spiritual. I'll talk about that in a moment. And he wants us to understand that. But he brings eating and drinking into this, though that's a carnal thing. But he's trying to address, Paul is here, trying to address a difficulty that's being experienced by those who are coming out of Judaism, who lived under the law, The only way they knew to do something right was to try and dot every I and cross every T of the law of the Old Testament. And the Bible says no man can fulfill the law. So they were on an impossible task. And so they'd come out of Judaism, so now they were free. Praise God. They didn't have to try and keep the law. Praise the Lord. They would be born again now. Hallelujah. They'd accepted what Christ Jesus had accomplished. Thank God for that. It was by faith. But they'd come out of Judaism. Their friends and their colleagues for so many years were still going through the principles of going to the church and keeping the law of the Sabbath or whatever, the law of eating. What you can eat, what you can't eat, how you can eat it, how you can't eat it. There was a law for everything like that. And so he was trying to address this. He was trying to help these new converts understand that they didn't have to fulfill the law any longer. Praise God. See, the law is works. And people by works try to achieve something. And they had the mentality before Christ came to deliver mankind. They had the mentality that they've got to earn their right standing with God. But no man can ever do that. No man, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. No man can make that up. No one can fill in the gap. And Paul was dealing with that when he ended up a lot of the teaching he'd been given and said, it's not a matter of eating and drinking. Not a matter of keeping those laws. He says, for the kingdom of God is righteousness, is peace, and is joy. I'm so glad I'm in the kingdom. I'm different. I'm enjoying a different life. I'm enjoying a different environment. I'm enjoying different expectations. Honestly, I'm glad I'm in the kingdom. Hallelujah. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. Well, what is a kingdom? A kingdom is an area or a domain, a territory, if you like, that a king is in charge of. That's historically how it's understood in the natural, and so it is in the spiritual. When this was written, God the Father knew by the Holy Spirit that that's what something mankind would understand, the kingdom. The kingdom has a king. And praise God, the kingdom of God has a king. Hallelujah. Only it's so different to the kingdom of darkness. And by the way, if you turn with me to Colossians chapter 1, turn in your own Bible. You look at this. And look at verse 13. Listen to this. Verse 12. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. How did he qualify us? Through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Through our acceptance of that by faith. We believe him. We trust that that blood that was shed was sufficient for our redemption. Then verse 13 says, he has delivered us. Say that word with me. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. Hallelujah. And he has conveyed us or translated us into the what? Kingdom of the Son of his love. So there's a kingdom that the Son of his love, which is Jesus, has. There is a kingdom of God. It's an area, it's a territory, it's a domain where he is king. Is it a physical one? No, it's not. It's a spiritual one. But it's a spiritual realm that governs everything. It is a spiritual realm. The spiritual realm is not just a God spirit. It contains a demonic spirit, a Satan spirit. And I daren't go any more than that right now, otherwise I'll never follow this through. So the kingdom of God is an area of rule by God. And God has given laws within that. If you want to find the laws of the kingdom of God, you read through Matthew's gospel, chapter 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7. And you will see the laws of the kingdom. Break those laws and you'll have a consequence in the natural. God still loves you and me, but you'll have a consequence. Keep those laws. I don't mean religiously. I mean keep them by faith. You believe them enough to keep them. It's like giving. You give because God's got a plan for you. Do you understand this about giving? That God wants us Christians to give. Give with expectation of Him increasing our giving. He said, give and it will be given unto you. Back, good measure. What's the objective of God? God, through our faithful giving, if we are true believers, expect that our giving will be increased and returned back to us. So what does that mean for the kingdom? If we believe that and we receive it, then it means that we have more money to put back into the kingdom. If we do that again and we believe it, that means it's going to be repeated. The kingdom of God is an awesome plan. It's a strategy and wisdom of God, and it's all found in here. And the kingdom of God, the church of Jesus Christ today suffers because people don't do that. God's got a plan to increase the finance in your life as a believer. Not just that you can be blessed, He wants to bless you, but that you will be a blessing. That you will bring finance into the house of the Lord for the work of God. Oh, I get excited. I apologize for that, but I do. You know, we've lived through the years and seen the need for finance and how the saints just, they're ruled by this. They're ruled by this. I'm going to say it again. There's two important things. It's all about relationship. And it's never this, it's this. The word that's deposited in your heart. Now, I don't get that. The kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, yes. So the kingdom of God is a place of rule. It's a spiritual place. God's kingdom, the kingdom of God. The Bible talks about it, just in case you're confused or when you're reading or already confused by what I'm going to say. But the Bible talks about the kingdom of God. It talks about the kingdom of heaven. It talks about the kingdom of the Son of His love, which you've just read. They're all one and the same. It's God's kingdom. Do you understand? I could take you through scriptures where you'll see the kingdom of heaven, where it's listed there, is really synonymous, the same as the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God of Jesus Christ is the kingdom of God. So the kingdom is a place that you or I, when we get saved, we're translated out of one kingdom. We just read it in Colossians 1:13. Can you remember what it says? From the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of God's Jesus. Do you know, every believer here, whether you understand it or not, when you gave your life to Jesus, whatever, I'm in a square here, you may or may not be able to see it. This is where I was. I was in the kingdom of darkness and I didn't know it. It's all I'd ever know. It's all I'd ever know. And there I am, well, I'm stuck here. But when I got saved by faith, this is what happened. I was taken out of this restricted area, and I was stepped into this unlimited area, which is the kingdom of God. I was taken out of the kingdom of darkness. I was delivered from the power of darkness, and I was translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Hallelujah. That's where I am. That's where you are. You receive it by faith. Otherwise, you're not there, though it's yours to embrace. So the kingdom of God is important to understand. The kingdom of God is an area of God's where God is Lord, where God is supreme. All right, I've talked about the synonymousness of those three kingdoms. So the laws of the kingdom, as I said, you'll find in Matthew 5, Matthew 6, and Matthew 7. When those are established in your life, your faith will be ready to take root and really be launched, because then when you've got those laws flowing through your life and you're living by those laws, you've established a foundation beneath your feet whereby when you come to the rest of the word of God, you're able to deal with it, enjoy it, and experience it, because your faith has been exercised and it works. It works. So the kingdom of God is where we are all in. We're all in that. And the Bible says here, it says the kingdom of God is a place of righteousness, peace and joy. So let's just look at that for a little while. The kingdom of God, where you and I are dwelling, is a place of righteousness. So there's three things, let's just quickly look at. It's righteousness. This is the foundation of everything. This is the beginning of everything. This is where everything starts, through righteousness. So what is righteousness? The Bible says we've been made the righteousness of God, my Lord. So in that sense, we have been given back and restored to the pre-standard of living that Adam had before he fell in his relationship with God. Isn't that awesome? He walked with him, he talked with him. You can walk with him and talk to him throughout the day. Kingdom of God is righteousness. What is righteousness? Righteousness is God's way, God's right way, the way God does things, the way God wants to do things, and it's all listed here, who God is. So righteousness is God's way. It's the foundation of everything. What does that bring forth? Peace. Let's look at John 14. Let's go to John 14 for a moment. John 14. Let's see. Let's read from 23. Jesus answered and said to them, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me, listen to this one. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me." This is a good passage to read when you get back home. Verse 25, "These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper," here he is, "the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So I've gone there because the second aspect of that passage in the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace. The evidence of somebody in the kingdom is righteousness that brings peace. How does that peace come? Jesus said, "I give it to you." How about that? How about that? He has given you and I peace. Have you received it? You say, "Pastor, come on, what is it, a trick question? Are you playing a game show this morning?" How do you receive it? You receive it by faith. You receive it as you read this word and you accept it. There's no questions. When I first got saved and started reading this, I could not understand a thing about it. It made no sense to me. But I had had an encounter with my Savior. I can't articulate all that must have happened. I can only say I met my Lord. It was by faith. It was me and him. I didn't see him. Because I had responded to this word by faith, I don't know. I just got up from that place and I was a different person. That difference came simply because I had, with all my heart, I had believed it. I wasn't playing. I wasn't testing something. I was responding to him. And it changed. He said, "I give you peace." Now we can either reject that peace and let the enemy fill our mind with worry and fear, or we can accept that peace, reject the negativity that he wants to fill us our mind with because of the circumstances, and stand on the word. That's faith. That's a new born again believer. You can be a born again believer today, and the enemy can play havoc with your life. We have righteousness, which is God's way, peace, which is the gift of God, and joy. You know what comes to my mind? Joy is a reward. The reason I'm saying that, I'm just mindful, I can't think of the scripture right now, but remember the parable of the talents? When the one, for instance, that had five and came back with five and gave him 10, you know, one of the things that the Lord rewarded him with, he says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of the Lord." That was a reward. That was a reward. Well done. Without running the risk of going offline here, do you know that God's put deposits in every one of us? Just like God had given them talents, it was talents of money, he'd given them to use it. One went and took it, and he used it well. You know what the third one did, don't you? He took it. Yeah, he received it. He went and buried it in the ground, lest somebody steal it. So he's having to give him back. He says, "You do nothing with what I gave you." He went into eternal damnation. What did they say to him that took it and used it effectively for the glory of God? He says, "Well done." Hallelujah. I do believe there are rewards in heaven. I believe that. I believe the reward's here and now. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. It's a reward. So we have here something that's important. The kingdom of God, where I am, you can enjoy the kingdom or you can just say, "Yeah, I'm in there, I suppose, because I'm saved." But you can't tell me much about it. You can't tell me what you're benefiting by being in that kingdom. I want to tell you, the kingdom of God is a safe haven. Kingdom of God is a place that God secures, for want of a better description. God keeps us in his kingdom, praise the Lord. He defends us in his kingdom. I'm in the kingdom of God, and the devil wants to get me. Do you know what he has to do to get me? He has to somehow get past God. You know that? That's easy for him to do. That's easy for him to do unless there is a living contact between me, who's in the kingdom, and God, who is the kingdom. Glory to God. God touches. And this kingdom that he's talking to us about, which is righteousness, peace, and joy, is the most awesome place to be. You're in it if you're saved today. If you're born, you're in it. But are you enjoying the benefits of being in the kingdom? Kingdom living, they call it. Righteousness, peace, and joy. Righteousness is what God does, how God behaves. Peace is gift of God. Joy is the fruit. You know, we used to have a friend that grew beautiful chrysanthemums. You know those chrysanthemums? You know chrysanthemum flowers? No? Beautiful head. Lovely. It's a lovely flower. And he really specialized them, and Hillary was always over the moon when she got a bunch of these given to her. And the head, as I said, was really beautiful, but you know, that head was ineffective without two other things. The root is essential. Let me tell you this, the root of your Christian living, if you're a Christian, is righteousness. It's righteousness. If righteousness is not alive in you, then you're like most other people with a testimony that I'm saved. But righteousness is living God's way. Righteousness is believing this enough to do it, to live by it, to bring this into your life, to think this, to talk it, to act it, to put it on a pedestal above everything else. That's righteousness. Righteousness is the foundation to Christian living. Let me quote again, 2 Corinthians 5:21. God took Jesus, who knew no sin, and made him to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Praise God, I'm the righteousness of God today. Glory to God. Hallelujah. If I had more energy, I'd dance. Isn't that awesome? You're the righteousness of God. Do you know it? Do you declare it through the day? Do you praise God for it? Do you exercise the dominion that means you have? You are the righteousness of God. Praise the Lord. God took Jesus, his son, made him to be sin, and Jesus took your sin and mine. He took the sin of the world, past, present, and future. He took your sin and mine, and he bore that in his body. And that's another story. And what did he do to us? He gave us His righteousness.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. The spotless Lamb of God gave us His righteousness. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You know, every time I would say that, and I say it a lot, and you need to say it. You need to say it loud. You need to walk around your house and say it loud. The devil needs to hear it. You need to hear yourself saying it. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I do that at home. I do it. And after I've said it a few times, I was good before, but I'm even better now. I'm hearing myself testify to something that I believe this word confirms, and that for me is it. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And for me, you know, I'm talking about that flower for a reason, because I realize that that's what this is, the kingdom of God. Righteousness, peace, and joy. Righteousness is the root. The stem of that beautiful chrysanthemum is peace. It's growing up from the root. Peace. How does peace come? Well, Jesus has given us peace. How can we accept that peace? Because He's given us. How has He given it? He's given it to us in His Word that lets us have every promise, that tells us we are healed. Well, let me quote the Old Testament for it. He has forgiven all of our iniquities. He has healed all of our diseases. He has cleansed us from all unrighteousness. He has delivered our soul from destruction. And He has crowned us with loving kindness and tender mercies. Hallelujah! That's peace. Isn't that peace? If you believe that, you're walking around with that truth in your heart, you've got peace. So you've got a root from which this peace comes. I don't understand how He did it, but I believe it. He has made me His righteousness in Christ Jesus. Jesus took my guilt and my sin, my failures, my weaknesses, my inability to be much or to do much, and He has given me His righteousness. He has made me like Him. Some people don't like me saying this. He's made me like God. Glory to God. He's made you like God. Don't let people say, you don't say that. Don't say that. You say it because it's true. People that say don't do it have got tripped up over here. He has given us His righteousness. He has restored us to the pre-Adamic fall. He has taken us back to where Adam was and what Adam was enjoying with God before he sinned. Do you understand? Praise God. And so I'm walking around with Dad like Abraham, like Adam used to. And the Bible says that He made Adam in His image and likeness. Yes. Image and likeness. That tells me something. Are you getting in this morning?
Yeah.
We're talking about really the kingdom of God, but we're coming to the point where all of that only works out through the ministry of one person, the Holy Spirit. Kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit is God living in you and me as a born-again believer. Don't park Him somewhere. From the time that you begin, and every morning when you get up again, take Him to the throne of your heart and says, that's your place. That's the best place in the house. That's your place. Hop up on the altar. Give Him the throne. You become the one that's crucified, and you're giving Him the throne of your heart. And watch your life change. Watch what happens as a result of that. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's righteousness, peace, and joy by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit, if you're born again, is in you. I said earlier this morning, without any link to this, but I'm saying it now, it's about relationship. What do you do with the Holy Spirit? What did you do with Him this morning? What did you do with the Holy Spirit yesterday? How much communication was there with you? How much talking together? Was He talking to you? Were you listening? Were you talking to Him? Because He was listening. It's relationship. It's fellowship. It's in the Holy Spirit. Ignore the Holy Spirit. Ignore Him. And you cut yourself off from all the abundance that God has provided in His kingdom for you and me that are born again and now in His kingdom. Praise God.
Thank you for joining us. We look to God that He will direct your steps in blessings through this week. For more information, visit us at bangercommunitychurch.co.uk or find us on Facebook.